House please come to order. Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has everyone who wanted to vote voted? Clerk, tally the board.
24 members present.
We do have a quorum to conduct business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, may the General reflect that Representative Kapsner has been previously excused from the call of the House today, and that Representative Crawford has been excused from the call of the House until from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. today, I'm sorry. And then Representative Anderson has been excused from 8:30 until 11 today.
Okay. Without objection, those individuals will be shown as excused from the call of the House on the date and times indicated, which is today, by the Majority Leader. Leading the invocation today is the Pastor Bob Sherwood of the Church of the Nazarene. Will members please rise for the invocation?
Let us pray. Let's hear the words of Paul. What then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, who is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? It is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In all the challenges we face this day, Father, grant these representatives wisdom as they ask for it, and grant them peace. Amen.
Amen. Representative Rochberg, would you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice.
Representative Wilson. Representative McGuire.
Mr. Speaker, I move that lovely prayer be spread upon the journal.
Without objection, that prayer will be spread across the journal. And thank you, Pastor Sherwood, for being with us today. Will the clerk please certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify as the correctness of the journal for the 105th legislative day.
Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal of the previous day be approved as certified by the chief clerk.
Without objection, the journal will be approved as certified by the chief clerk. Are there guests for introduction? Are there guests for introduction? Representative Krutula.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There are a number of guests in the Perantrovich Gallery who are here with the Coastal District Conference, and they've come. They have a specific interest in House Bill 191, which we have on the floor today. But among them is a woman who is very dear to me. Her name is Gabrielle LaRoche. Gabrielle and I had, the distinct pleasure, because of getting to work with her, to work with this program for a number of years. Gabrielle went on to be the acting director and did a lot of tremendous work with coastal districts across the state. She and her husband, much to my chagrin, have moved out of state now, but in my heart, she'll always be my constituent and my best friend. So in the Perantrovich Gallery, I'd like you to help me welcome Gabrielle LaRoche.
Further guests, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to introduce in the gallery behind me lady from Sitka. She is the government relations director of the city and borough of Sitka. She does an absolutely fantastic job at this and helps keep things running smoothly in Sitka. And so if you would all give her a hand, I'd appreciate it.
Representative Jewell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the gallery behind me is a longtime friend, somebody who's down here for the Coastal Communities Conference that's here. And he also happens to be the planning director for the Northwest Arctic Borough. Would the body please help me welcome to Juneau Noah Naylor.
Representative Guerra. Representative Guerra. I thought you were seeking the floor on our introduction of guests. Representative Moses.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today it gives me great pleasure to introduce some TRSA folks in the gallery behind me. Marv Smith, Lake and Penn Borough. Carol Cullimanen, Solutions West. And Andrew Devilpine, Crystal Bay TRSA. Please help me welcome them to you.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce to the body Dan Bevington in the Taylor Gallery. He's a Coastal District Coordinator for the Kenai Peninsula Borough, and he also serves on the Kachemak Bay Research Reserve Community Council with myself. Please welcome Dan.
Representative Gatto. Representative Jewell. You're up again.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the Paratrovich Gallery, one of the Coastal Resource Service Area directors from McCoya, would the body please welcome John Oscar.
Further guests? Going once. Okay. Madam Clerk, messages from the governor.
We received a letter dated May 5th from the Director of Boards and Commissions with a corrected letter from their April 30th message, and the corrections will be spread in the journal. Message dated May 5th stating, the governor has signed the following bill and has transmitted the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. Senate CS for House Bill 71, Finance, Board of Certified Direct Entry Midwives, Chapter Number 16, SLA 2003, and Senate Bill 79, Alaska Minerals Commission, Chapter Number 17, SLA 2003. There are no further messages from the governor.
Representative Petula.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could we go to special orders, please?
Okay.
No objection.
No objection. We'll move down the calendar to special orders. Representative Cartula.
Okay, the topic is special delivery from Mary.
Without and objection, we'll hear about Mary's newborn.
So, with great pride from his Aunt Beth, it's my pleasure to announce the delivery of a 7-pound, 15-ounce, 21-inch-long baby boy by the representative from District 38 at 8:31 a.m. this morning. She wants us to know that everyone is healthy and happy, and I get to tell you the name. The name is Reggie Albert, Tom Ethan,
Harry, Eric, Les, Max, David, Carl, Mike, John, Hugh, Richard, Carl, John, Mike, Jim, Vic, Pete, Bob, Kevin, Carl, Dan, Norman, Ralph, Paul, Bill, Bruce, and Jim. And that was her doing, but you'll all know that you're part of this baby by that name. His other name will be Matthew Van. So.
Congratulations to Mary. Representative Harris, make sure you get a voter registration up there. It's very soonest. Another Republican. We'll move back up the calendar. Madam Clerk, are there communications? Are there messages from the other body?
A message dated May 5th stating the Senate has passed and returned House CS for House Bill 46 has reporting of Social Security numbers. And a message dated May 5th stating the Senate has passed committee substitute for House Bill 59 Finance amended with the following amendment. Senate CS for House Bill 59 Finance evaluation and cleanup of sites where controlled substances may have been stored and its return for consideration.
That will be considered.
A message dated May 5th stating the Senate has passed the following and they're transmitted for consideration. CS for Senate Bill 63, State Affairs, by the Senate State Affairs Committee entitled An Act Relating to Transition Provisions Related to Municipal Mergers, Consolidations, Dissolutions, Reclassifications, Annexations, Detachments, and Incorporations, and Relating to Municipal Property Taxation and Annexed, Detached, and Newly Incorporated Areas.
I'll be referred to the Community and Regional Affairs Committee.
Senate Bill 88 by Senators Seekins, Wilkin, Taylor, Dyson, Wagner, Elton, Cowdery, Ben Stevens, Terrio, entitled An Act Relating to Standards for Forest Resources and Practices and Providing for an Effective Date.
Resources. At ease. I should come back to order. Madam Clerk.
Senate Bill 148 by Senators Cowdery, Elton, Wilkin, Seekins, Wagner, Dyson, Ben Stevens, Taylor, Guest, Bundy, Olson, and Terrio, entitled An Act Relating to Allowable Absences for Certain Members of the Armed Forces and Their Spouses and Dependents for Purposes of Eligibility for Permanent Fund Dividends and Providing for an Effective Date.
At ease. House, please come back to order. Representative Whitaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we revert back up
the calendar? Without objection, we'll move up the calendar to introduction of guests.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. In the gallery behind me is a gentleman with whom I had a wonderful experience, and that was serving the great city of Fairbanks. Former mayor of the city, a current regent of the University of Alaska, it is with great pride that I introduce Jim Hayes. If you could help me welcome him, please.
Representative Weirach, under introduction of guests.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's a number of guests here that I'd like to introduce. We have Sue Plummer Douglas with the Juno Hospice Foundation, Lori Brotherton with the Hospice and Home Care of Juno, Linda Harris of the Hospice and Home Care of Juno, B. Shepherd with Juno Commission on Aging, Marie Darlin with the AARP, Laurelyn Swanson of the Juno Commission on Aging, and Rosalie Walker with the AARP, and I wish you'd all stand, please.
guests for introduction? Seeing none, back down the calendar, Madam Clerk.
Referrals on SB 148.
That will be referred to the Military and Veteran Affairs Committee and the Finance Committee.
Senate Bill 173, effective date failed. By the Senate Rules Committee, by request of the Governor, entitled An Act Repealing Statutes Pertaining to the Alaska Science and Technology Foundation and Transferring Money in the Foundation's Endowment, repealing statutes relating to the BITCO Assistance Program, repealing statutes pertaining to the International Trade and Business Endowment and transferring money in the International Trade and Business Endowment, transferring oversight administration of outstanding Alaska Science and Technology Foundation loans and grants to the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, establishing an Alaska BITCO assistance program to be administered by the Department of Community and Economic Development, and making conforming amendments.
It may refer to the Finance Committee.
There are no further messages from the other body.
Madam Clerk, are there communications?
We received from Dana Fabe, Chief Justice, an appointment nominating Marianne Stilner to a term as a public member of the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics.
How nice. That would be referred to Judiciary.
There are no further communications.
Are there reports of standing committees?
The Judiciary Committee has reviewed the qualifications of Richard Burton to the Commission on Judicial Conduct. The report was signed by Representative McGuire, Chair, Representative Samuels, Holm, Guerra, Ogg, and Gruenberg. The Resources Committee has considered House Concurrent Resolution 10, Restoration of Riparian Habitat, recommending due pass Lynn, Gatto, Morgan, Masick, Hines, Fate, no recommendation, Wolf. The report was signed by Fate, Chair. House Concurrent Resolution 10 has no further referral. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Joint Resolution 22, Patriot Act and Defending Civil Liberties, attaches a zero fiscal note recommending due pass Seton, Gruenberg, and Wyrock. No recommendation, Holm, Lynn, and Dahlstrom. The report was signed by Wyrock, Chair. House Joint Resolution 22 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Joint Resolution 23, Patriot Act and Peace and Security, attaches a zero fiscal note recommending due pass Seton, Gruenberg, Holm, and Wyrock. No recommendation, Lynn Dahlstrom. The report was signed by Wyrock, Chair. House Joint Resolution 23 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. Finance Committee has considered House Bill 155, Public Construction Project Requirements, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 155, Finance, with the new title, attaches a fiscal note, recommending due pass Meyer, Hawker, Chenault, Whitaker, and Williams. No recommendation, Stoltz, Jewell, Croft, Moses, and Harris. The report was signed by Harris and Williams, co-chairs. House Bill 155 has no further referral. Finance Committee has considered House Bill 162, Increased Business License Fee, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 162, Finance, with a new title, attaches a fiscal note and a zero fiscal note, recommending due pass Whitaker, Foster, and Williams, do not pass Croft, no recommendation Meyer, Hawker, Stoltz, Jewell, Moses, Chenault, and Harris. The report was signed by Harris and Williams, co-chairs. House Bill 162 has no further referral. Finance Committee has considered House Bill 199, Delete Minimum Wage Inflation Proofing, attaches a zero fiscal note recommending due pass Hawker, Foster, and Williams, do not pass Jewell, Croft, and Harris. No recommendation, Meyer, Stoltz, Moses, Chenault, and Whitaker. The report was signed by Harris and Williams, co-chairs. House Bill 199 has no further referral. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 215, Repeal 1% for Art, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 215, State Affairs, with the new title, attaches a zero fiscal note, recommending DuPass, Wyrock, no recommendation, Grunberg, Holm, Lynn, Dahlstrom, and Berkowitz. The report was signed by Wyrock Chair. House Bill 215 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 225, Monopoly and Restraint of Trade Actions, recommending DuPass, Meyer, Stoltz, Croft, Jewell, Moses, and Williams. The report was signed by Williams, co-chair. House Bill 225 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 243, Evaluation of Agency Programs, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 243, State Affairs, with the same title, attaches a zero fiscal note, recommending DuPass, Meyer and Williams, no recommendations, Stoltz, Jewell, Croft, and Moses. The report was signed by Williams, co-chair. House Bill 243 has no further referral. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 247, Science and Technology Foundation, BIDCO, International Trade, recommending do not pass, Crawford, Guttenberg, and Anderson, no recommendation, Lynn, Gatto, Dahlstrom, and Roquebrook. The report was signed by Anderson, chair. House Bill 247 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Resources Committee has considered House Bill 283, Coal Leases, attaches a zero fiscal note, recommending do pass, Lynn, Gatto, Hines, Morgan, Masick, Wolf, and Fate. The report was signed by Fate Chair. House Bill 283 has no further referral. The State Affairs Committee has considered Senate Joint Resolution 17, Alaska-Yukon Intergovernmental Relations Accord, recommending do pass Dahlstrom, Lynn, Holm, and Wyrock. The report was signed by Wyrock Chair. SJR 17 has no further referral. The Judiciary Committee has considered Senate Bill 87, Principal and Income, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 87, Judiciary, with the same title, recommending do pass, Samuels, Holm, Ogg, Grunberg, McGuire, no recommendation, Guerra. The report was signed by McGuire Chair. Senate Bill 87 has no further referral. There are no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Madam Clerk, are there reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Brings us down to bills for introduction.
Citation?
Oh, yes. Are there citations or resolutions for introduction?
Citation honoring Judith Andreg by Representative Gatto, honoring Aurora Borealis Charter School and staff by Representative Wolf. There are no further citations or resolutions for introduction.
I guess I should follow the script. Are there bills for introduction?
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 278 by Representative Coghill entitled An Act Relating to a Masonic Lodge License Plate.
Be referred to the Health, Education, Social Service Committee and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 299 by Representative Ogg entitled An Act Giving Notice of and Approving and Authorizing the Entry into and Issuance of Certificates of Participation for the Upgrade, Expansion, and Replacement of Certain Jails and Providing for an Effective Date.
Referred to Community and Regional Affairs, State Affairs, and Finance.
House Bill 300 by Representative Masick entitled An Act Repealing the Economic Limit Factor as it applies to oil and providing for an effective date.
I'd be referred to the House Special Committee on Oil and Gas, Resources, Finance, and others.
House Bill 301 by the House Rules Committee by request of the Governor entitled An Act Establishing the Knick Arm Bridge and Toll Authority relating to that authority and providing for an effective date, a letter, and a fiscal note were attached.
Refer to Transportation and Finance.
There are no further bills for introduction.
That brings us down to an at ease for the purpose of a majority caucus. We'll be back in 15 minutes. The House, please come back to order. prior to the at-ease, we were considering daily calendar. Madam Clerk, would you please read first item on today's calendar?
Representatives Wyrock, Ogg, Kukesh, and Seaton, entitled An Act Relating to Healthcare Decisions, including Do Not Resuscitate Orders and the Donation of Body Parts, and to Powers of Attorney Relating to Healthcare, including the Donation of Body Parts, and Providing for an Effective Date. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 25 Hess with a new title attached to zero fiscal note, recommending do pass. Gatto, Wolf, Hines, Seaton, Cisna, Kapsner, and Wilson. The report was signed by Wilson, Chair. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 25 Judiciary with the new title, recommending do pass. Samuels, Holm, Guerra, Ogg, and McGuire. The report was signed by McGuire, Chair. The Finance Committee referral was waived. There's two committee substitutes.
Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 25 with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, we have the Judiciary Committee substitute before us. Madam Clerk, are there amendments?
Amendment number one by Representative Lynn, beginning page 7, following line 9.
Representative Lynn.
Mr. Speaker, thank you very much. I am withdrawing those amendments at this time and will speak to the issue under debate. Thank you.
It's my understanding you're withdrawing amendment number one.
Amendment number one, number two, number three, and number four.
You're a little ahead.
Thank you.
Without objection, amendment number one has been withdrawn. Madam Clerk, are there additional amendments?
There's an amendment number five by Representative Wyrock to page 7, following line 13.
Withdrawn.
Without objection, amendments 1 through 5 have been withdrawn. Madam Clerk, is there additional amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 25, Judiciary, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There is no objection. Without objection, we are in third reading. Would the clerk please read the title from the third and final time?
CS for House Bill 25 Judiciary by the House Judiciary Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Healthcare Decisions, including Do Not Resuscitate Orders, Anatomical Gifts, and Mental Health Treatment Decisions, and to Powers of Attorney Relating to Healthcare, including Anatomical Gifts and Mental Health Treatment Decisions, and Providing for an Effective Date.
Under debate, Representative Wyrock.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 25 is also euphemistically known as the Five Wishes Bill. It deals with wishes on the kind of person that I, or the person I want to make health care decisions for me when I can't, the kind of medical treatment I want or don't want when I'm in a hospital or infirm, how comfortable I want to be, how I want other people to treat me, and what I want my loved ones to know when it's that time of our lives. Mr. Speaker, death is a part of life, and we all have probably had people in our lives that are, have passed away that have been close to us. And how we care, love, and respect that person is one of the most fundamentally important decisions we deal with as a society and as individuals. This bill can't overcome the emotional strain, personal sacrifice, and all the other things we deal as humans when we deal with the passing away of a loved one. But it's intended to make our society have a mechanism where we can work with those we love and make help them make decisions on how they want to be cared for and dealt with at end of life and do the right thing for those that we love and care for. Mr. Speaker, having recently lost my father and gone through these kind of decisions, this is a terribly emotional and difficult thing to deal with as a society. So what we try and do in this legislation is put together in one bill an easy thing for people to deal with: our organ donor program, our living will program, our comfort do not resuscitate orders, an expanded healthcare durable power of attorney and mental health care directives. And Mr. Speaker, with this kind of work by the legislature to help all people of the society know and appreciate and understand what it is that we must go through eventually in all of our lives, I think we do good things for the people of the state, and I urge your support.
Thank you, Representative Wyrock. Further debate? Representative Cisna?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I stand in support of this bill, and had the experience during the last several years of listening to a huge amount of testimony on the five wishes and its different the different aspects to it. I also have had my own personal experiences, two of them, where in the past 4 years I was with loved ones who, and the families that go through this experience, go through it oftentimes for weeks. It's not a short-term problem that families face, and they need help. They do need help, and this bill does address that. There's two meanings to the term living will, and this bill does involve that and more than that, and it does encompass the two meanings as well, the fact that you need the document, a living will, but you need far more than that. You need to know what your loved one, what their will is in their life, in what life is to them, in honor of their wishes. And that's something that we as individuals don't too often talk with our loved one about the end of life. That's a really touchy issue, and we do, if we're lucky, have some reason why we talk about it. This bill helps a person in one of life's very important moments, and it's an honor. It brings honor to an event that needs a pathway for people. And this bill has been talked a lot, has had huge amounts of testimony, and I can't remember any of it negative. So I do support it and thank the sponsor for his incredible amount of work. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Cisna. Representative Wynn.
Mr. Speaker, I'm 70 years old. I'm actually a little older than that now, and anybody who's reached my advanced years have gone through some of this. I was raised by my grandparents. They both passed away. I went through these issues with them. I went through it with my mother, and she passed away. Favorite uncle, when he passed away, and so on and so on and so on. And I suspect many people who are close to my age have gone through the same processes. And unfortunately, and sad to say, those who have not will eventually. So these are issues that definitely need to be addressed because they concern all of us in one way or another. I'd like also to say that I have the deepest respect for the sincerity and the intent of the sponsor of this bill, and I support him on the good things that he wants to do with it, and I support many of those good things. Unfortunately, I don't believe that the bill as written provides the adequate support for some of the issues that are of great concern to me. I speak specifically of right to life issues. I don't think they are addressed as they should be. I hope that they can be corrected in the process as we go along. But today, I cannot vote for the bill, even though I do respect the intent of the people who do. And I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Representative Lynn. Further debate? Representative Hines.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to say that I think this is a very good bill, and I know that most of us have our parents, a lot of us in their 80s, but I want it there for my folks, for my mother, and I want it there for myself when my turn comes. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hines. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, when this bill came through the HES committee, I was not assigned to it yet. And then the representative got appointed, and he went to the judiciary where this bill went, and I was replaced before I got a chance to hear this. So the other day, or the other week, I sat down to read this bill. This will literally pop your circuit breakers, trying to get your mind around all the different areas that we're dealing with here, and there are some truly technical and legal issues. But I think we've avoided many of the problems that really are in the societal discussion. Euthanasia, for example. How to respect those who want to put forward their last wishes. Just recently, I had the occasion to have this very discussion with my mother on her deathbed. And we were talking about how she would have chosen to do things and how glad she was that there was not a disagreement within the family and legal entanglements. So I understand the reason for having the language put in this bill, and so I'm going to support the bill, but I would also like to associate myself with the remarks of the member sitting at the same table with me, that there are still yet questions unanswered, and my commitment will be to follow through on some of those. Anytime you have a work like this, though, it's a work in progress. We're talking about how to live and die and protect those who are living and do it all with dignity. So I think this is a good work. May you have yet some work to do.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Leader. Further debate. You ready for the question? Question before the House is the passage of committee substitute for House Bill 25, Judiciary. Members may proceed to vote. The clerk locked the roll. Does anyone wish to change your vote? Clerk tally the board.
38 yeas, 1 nay.
And so the House has passed committee substitute for House Bill 25, Judiciary. Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on committee substitute for House Bill 25, Judiciary be considered the roll call vote on the effective date.
Without objection, the roll call vote on the passage of the legislation will be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause, thus adopting the effective date clause.
Could we have an at ease?
Absolutely. House stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Prior to the at ease, we were somewhere in the calendar. But without objection, I would like to move up the calendar to messages from the other body. Madam Clerk.
A message dated May 6th stating the Senate has failed to concur in the House amendment to CS for Senate Bill 105 Hess amended effective date failed, namely House CS for CS for Senate Bill 105 Hess eligibility requirements for medical assistance for certain children, pregnant women, and persons in a medical or intermediate care facility, and respectfully request the House to recede from its amendment.
Hope that doesn't surprise you, as it doesn't me. Thank you, Madam Clerk. Back down the calendar. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's agenda?
House Bill 191 by the House Rules Committee by request to the Governor entitled an act relating to the Alaska Coastal Management Program and to policies and procedures for consistency reviews and the rendering of consistency determinations under that program relating to the functions of coastal resource service areas creating an Alaska Coastal Program Evaluation Council, eliminating the Alaska Coastal Policy Council, annulling certain regulations related to the Alaska Coastal Management Program relating to actions based on private nuisance, relating to zoning within a third-class borough covered by the Alaska Coastal Management Program, and providing for an effective date. The House Special Committee on Fisheries considered the bill, recommending Dupas, Hines, Wilson, do not pass, Guttenberg and Berkowitz, no recommendation, Samuels, amend Ogg and Seaton. The report was signed by Seaton Chair. The Resources Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 191, Resources, recommending do pass, Hines, Lynn, Wolf, Masick, and Fate. Do not pass, Curtula and Guttenberg, amend Morgan and Gatto. The report was signed by Fate Chair. The Judiciary Committee referral was discharged. The bill was discharged from the Judiciary Committee. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 191, Finance, with the new title attached to zero fiscal note, recommending do pass, Meyer, Whitaker, Foster. Do not pass, Jewell and Croft. No recommendation, Hawker, Stoltz, Moses, and Harris. The report was signed by Harris, co-chair. There's two committee substitutes, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 191 with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, Finance Committee substitute is before us. Representative Curtula.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At this time, I move to take House Bill 191 from the calendar and refer it to the Rules Committee.
Motion before the body is to remove House Bill 191 from the calendar and move it back into Rules. And there is an objection. Representative Curtula.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under our rules, and nothing right on point in the uniform rules except the vote, which has to be 21, but under Mason's, specifically, it's advisable to refer a bill back to committee when there are numerous amendments or substantial revision of the bill is required. Furthermore, under Chapter 38 in Mason's, and if I might read a little bit of that general rule, the purposes of referring a question to committee may be to secure a more thorough study, to allow people to testify, to give a better opportunity for persons to appear either for or against the matter, and to hear and question witnesses. Mr. Speaker, the process that we've used on this bill has not been good. The bill has been rushed. There were specific requests made to the last committee, Finance, to hold the bill over. Minority promised not to be dilatory, not to try to hold the bill even in third, nor to reconsider, so that we could have the people who are in our audience today watching us and who could be here yesterday and today testify. It wasn't allowed. This is a very complex piece of legislation, and the people deserve to get heard. So with that, I would hope that the body would reconsider and would allow the people to be heard in Rules. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Curtula. Mr. Majority Leader.
Just have a brief at ease.
House stand at ease. House, please come back to order.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Place a call on the House, please.
There is a call placed on the House. Stand at ease while the call is being satisfied. The call has been satisfied. The motion before the House is to refer House Bill 191 back to the Rules Committee for further consideration. It is a debatable motion. Is there further debate? Representative Fate.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this particular bill has probably had more committee assignments and more committee public testimony than most of the bills that go through this House. But when you deal with legislation that deals with some of the areas that we do deal in this particular piece of legislation, you get public testimony and lots of it, but it begins to repeat itself. Further public testimony, this has been considered that we haven't had enough. Further public testimony really will not do much to enlighten any more than has already been in the process that we've already established. So, Mr. Speaker, I'm against removing this particular piece of legislation from the calendar and going back to the Rules Committee. There is simply no need of it. This has been a well-worked piece of legislation.
Thank you, Representative Fate. Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I sat on two of the three committees that heard this bill, and I think we had four CSs. Most committee meetings were about introducing the new CS and listening to it. Last night, I had the privilege of sitting in a meeting with a lot of the coastal zone districts and their representatives. And one of the things we heard was they came to a committee meeting, teleconference from their home community or sitting in the room, and they had written testimony that was adopted, that was drafted by their planners, adopted by their legislative bodies, and then to come into a room and find out that the bill had changed, and they no longer wanted to address a bill with outdated testimony. And that happened time and time again. We heard it in committee. They were asked many times if they were reading the same CS that we were working off of. Last night, I heard quite a bit of testimony of quite a bit of concern about that they didn't have an opportunity to address the CS that was in front of a committee at that time. Now we're in this body. Now we have the bill that we're about to vote on in this body, and it's a good time. It's no longer a moving object, and they have all come to town, and it's a good time for them to talk about it. This is a considerable piece of legislation. They're here. We can see them face to face in rules. They have a lot of concerns. They think they're being left out of a process. I think it's a good time to hear from them. I'm from Fairbanks. I'm probably one of the few people in the body, along with my other friends from Fairbanks, who don't have a coastal zone district. But I think almost every other member in this body is included in a coastal district. Their representatives from those areas want to be heard on this. So I rise in support of the motion.
Representative Cisna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And in many ways, I guess I don't have a dog in this fight, I guess you could say, except that since 1975, when I lived in Kodiak and became aware of some of the early coastal management work in that community, and then in my publication work, having gotten to know it is an issue that is personal to every single one of those communities, and it's different in every single one of them. And I know I've heard in the past once someone said something about, well, you've been to a community, all communities are the same. Well, that just is not true in Alaska. Our communities are extraordinarily diverse, and I cannot imagine that testimony from one community would be exactly the same as testimony from another. Mr. Speaker, this is just too vital to Alaska not to be willing to listen to people who are willing to talk. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Sisman. Representative Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm talking against this motion. This this issue has been before us since the first of the year. I believe the governor brought it up right before it, talked about it in his one of his speeches. It was introduced on March 12th of this year and had several public hearings. I'm not going to say that the public hearings aren't working, but I've been here long enough to know that usually the public hearings are usually over and over, said over and over, same issues. The different CSs are the reason that they are changed are because of the public hearings. People are listening to the public. I think that this isn't the last time that the public will have a chance to testify on this. And I would hope those that didn't get a chance to testify on this, that they watch the Senate, I'm sorry, the other body, for when they're going to have their...
This is, for
First of all, this debate is out of order for reference to what may or may not occur in a place other than this body.
Representative Williams.
This isn't the last time that people will be able to talk on this issue, I don't believe. So, Mr. Speaker, I believe that there has been several public hearings, several CSs, and I know, as being a chairman of committees since I've been here, that we listen to the public testimony, and even if the CS isn't before us, that's the reason we have public testimony, so that we can take the public testimony and make changes if we so choose, or if the argument is there. And it's also so that we can talk to that. There has been several. We haven't had this held. We're not pushing this like some people think we are. This has been before us since March 12th, talked about since the first of the year. So we've had ample time to get to our legislators. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Williams. Representative Croft.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On the motion to refer it to rules, you know, the point's been made that we don't need to refer it to rules because of all the hearings it's had and the public testimony that have gone through. But the fact is this bill has changed radically. The governor's, in your packet here, the governor's original transmittal letter says the bill would eliminate the district coastal management zones. Management enforceable policies, but retains a local role in three ways, and goes on to say it. And after that, in your packet again, the letter from Tom Irwin says, if I may read just the first sentence, during the committee process, HB 191 was significantly amended to respond to public testimony brought by local governments, coastal districts. The problem is, it keeps getting amended. The public is always coming forward with the old CS, and sometimes the committee members are, and the new one comes forward. We've really, so the question becomes, what testimony have we had on this latest version of the bill? Extremely different from the one that got introduced, or even the one that went out of the Resources Committee. I was there, and I can answer very little. We knew that coming up earlier this week, a lot of the people who knew the exact, it was easy enough to testify about what the impact of eliminating this entirely was going to be. Putting it back, but putting it in back in a way that questions what level of enforceable policies are left, what level of local contribution are left, it's almost, that's where we needed the public testimony the most, because that's where the people that could understand the ways that these worked would have been needed and aren't. We're going to get to the merits of the bill, I worry, very soon. But we concentrated on just a couple of areas. I spent the Friday from when this was waived out of judiciary till the Saturday morning meeting that we had in the Finance Committee trying to learn with people that know more than I about the details of this bill. I don't consider myself a slow study, but I could not get all of those intricacies. And I would just say to the members here, are they sure at this point that they understand the finance version of 191? They've read it and understand it. I have read it, but I don't understand it, and I don't think we did in the Finance Committee, with all due respect to the co-chairman that spoke before me, what we should have on this bill. I offered that if we could hold it so that it could be held a hearing Monday, where the people from the districts were in town, we would agree not to hold it up from second to third or in reconsideration. We thought we could get it out of this body just as quickly, but have the right process. And that offer was rejected by the third floor. And as such, I think we stand with a bill that very few and maybe no members of this body understand the true implications to local enforceable policies. I know I don't.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. We have a committee process for a reason. We have a committee process because it's designed to improve the quality of legislation as it moves. Hopefully, by the time it gets to this floor, most of the kinks have been worked out, most of the policy arguments have been made and can be revisited on this floor if it's necessary. The history of this bill reveals a different process. It reveals a different history. There's been a series of rolling CSs. The bill keeps changing. People keep trying to catch up with the last bill. We have usually, and we should, take opportunity to listen to the experts in the field when we're delving into complex matters. And we're really fortunate today and this week to have the experts, the affected individuals in the legislature, in the capital city, available to us to help illuminate us, to help teach us, so we can have a better informed process. Mr. Speaker, you look at the rules, and it states in Rule 384 in Mason's, it's advisable to refer a bill back to committee when numerous amendments are to be proposed or a substantial revision of the bill is required. This is a governor's bill, and there's substantial amendments in front of us having to do with which agencies take the lead at which time. I don't understand the complexities of it, and I've sort of followed the bill through. I was there for the first iteration of this piece of legislation. We ought to send it back to rules. Let's listen to what the experts have to say. We might subsequently disagree on the merits about what those experts are telling us. We might arrive at different conclusions. But when we're implementing as substantial a change as is proposed in this bill, we owe it. It's our part of our, it's the highest part of our public responsibility to give this our best shot, to listen attentively. Because if we move without getting all the information, the quality of the product suffers, and the service it provides to the public clearly will not be of the highest order.
Thank you, Mr. Minority Leader. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Would you rule whether this is a substantive or procedural motion? Thank you.
Further debate? Representative Curtula.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you and the body for the latitude that you've allowed us here. It's a difficult topic, but at the heart of it, what we're talking about in this rule and the reason for moving it to the Rules Committee is all about participation. As the previous speaker said, we're really fortunate today. We actually have walking, talking, live experts who have dealt with this program for many years. And I think it behooves everyone, including the administration, to see this bill get another hearing in this body so that we can understand it, so that we can try to make necessary changes, and so that we can do the right thing. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Let's come back to order. Motion before the body is referral of House Bill 191 back to the Rules Committee. Is there further debate? Ready for the question? Question being, shall House Bill 191 be removed from the calendar and referred back to House Rules? Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Anyone wish to change their vote? Clerk, tally the board.
11 yeas, 28 nays.
And so the motion before us has failed, which brings us back to second reading on House Bill 191. Madam Clerk, do you have amendments?
Amendment number one by Representative Fate, beginning page 12, line 28.
Representative Fate.
I would like to move amendment number one, Mr. Speaker.
I object, and I move to divide the questions.
House standards. That's enough. House, please come back to order. Representative Cthulhu, could you basically determine where you would like this question divided?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's arguably four, but in essence three amendments here, and what I'd like to do is divide the question after line 6, so you'd have page 12, page 12, then after line 6 you'd divide, then you'd have page 14, page 14, after line 11 you would divide, and then you'd have the following. So it'd be amendment 1 on lines 12, amendment 2 on lines 14, amendment 3 on, it's page 12, page 14, and then page 22.
Okay, it is the ruling of the chair that the amendment is divisible. So we have before us amendment 1A, 1B, and 1C. 1A will take us down to line 6, 7 through 11 is 1B, and the remaining portion of the amendment is 1C.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I have no objection on amendment number 1A.
Without objection, then, we have dispensed with amendment 1A. Representative Fate, you have an objection?
For purposes of discussion, since we're doing committee work here, I'm curious to know what the reason is for putting this amendment forward at this time.
Representative Fate.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. During committee process, the word affected was inserted instead of interested. We're putting the original word back in to correspond to the federal language. It was a request by the Office of Coastal Resource Management that those words reflect each other, and the affected word did not. That's why it was replaced to the original form. In fact, as that was my own amendment in the committee, to make the word affected replace the word interested. Now we're going back to the original word interested to comply with that, with the coastal, or with the management language.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. That raises the subsequent question of what else did the Federal Office of Coastal Resource Management suggest, and is that correspondence available for the members' review?
Representative Fate.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As far as my knowledge is concerned, this was the only request from them that they make this change.
Okay. Further debate on Amendment 1A. Is the objection maintained? Without objection, then, Amendment 1A has been adopted. Representative Fate, would you move 1B?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move 1B.
There is an objection. Representative Fate.
Mr. Speaker, the amendments are made to clarify the process when used with Department of Environmental Conservation, where they, through the permitting process, actually in that process include the consistency review in the permitting process. Under 4640.096, Department of Environmental Conservation will exclude the review activities subject to those permits the Department of Environmental Conservation lets. But they will evaluate each project to determine if there are other activities that are subject to local district enforceable policy. If so, if there is local district enforceable policy, those activities will be evaluated for consistency against the local policies and against the statewide standards. So it's basically to ensure that there is a fair consistency review.
Thank you, Representative Fate. Representative Petula.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a good example of the problem of trying to do this here and now on the floor. The problem is that while the little memo that we got, it seems to be going in the right direction to say it's used to clarify the process, I don't understand the explanation, and I don't understand what the exact ramifications are going to be. Part of the problem is that DEC and its standards have been split completely out of this legislation, giving us a real confusion on how things work together. I think the amendment is well-intentioned, but it may have some results that I can't predict. Secondly, it doesn't solve the problem of saying, while your district might have an enforceable policy on this activity, if it had an enforceable policy that duplicated a DEC standard, or if it had anything to do with DEC, it won't exist, but yet we're going to put you in this process. It's just a horribly circular problem. So I can't support the amendment at this time. And if I get a good explanation, I might support the amendment, but right now, without it, I can't do that. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Cotullo. Representative Croft.
Yeah, now we're really getting somewhere, Mr. Speaker. Moving right along. I mean, it's on page 14 at the top that we're affecting, line one. It used to say, except as provided for in G, and G is the section that excludes from consistency reviews. So it made sense before to say, when these events happen, you do a consistency review, but not if it's excluded under G, where we don't do consistency reviews. But now, we're taking out the except as provided for G, raising the possibility to me that while they wouldn't initially be triggered, in fact, they'd be excluded under Section 21 from consistency reviews, they can somehow get the back door under J on the top of 14. And that doesn't make any sense to me, that you would exclude them in one section and then events wrap them back in under J. And so I'm still trying to figure out, and this is a lot of the things I was doing Friday night and Saturday morning to determine what this bill actually does. I think you want except as provided for G in there, because G defines the areas that are excluded from consistency reviews. Got it?
Got it. Thank you, Representative Croft. Further debate? Representative Fate?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for allowing this second comment. I should really explain that this CS does not change the enforceability of districts when policies remain applicable to the project subject to consistent review. In other words, those policies remain enforceable, not just Outer Continental Shelf and federal activities, but local consistency reviews. So it really hasn't changed in that regard.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Thanks very much. Well, Mr. Speaker, I share a similar confusion that my friend from District 25 does, but over the other section that's being deleted. So the members will turn their attention to Section 11 of the bill on page 8, which is 4640.040 sub B, the part that's being deleted on page 14, line 1. Stay with me. That states, if I might read from Section B, all these statutes and the regulations adopted under those statutes constitute the exclusive enforceable policies of the Alaska Coastal Management Program. Well, so what we're saying is, in subsection J, except as provided in the exclusive enforceable policies of the Alaska Coastal Management Program. But now we've taken that out. So I don't understand what that means. I don't know why we're taking it out. I don't know where that leaves us. I don't know how many conflicts of law can arise on account of this. All I do know is this is inordinately confusing. And I can't even conceive how this advances the cause of development. So confusion is hostile to development, and this is more confusion.
Thank you, Mr. Minority Leader. Further debate on Amendment 1B? You ready for the question? The question before the House is the adoption of Amendment 1B. Members may proceed to vote. Clerk will lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Sam Masick from yay to nay. Anyone else? Representative Wilson from yay to nay. Anyone else? Clerk, tally the board.
21 yeas, 18 nays.
So amendment number 1B has passed the House. Representative Fate.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move amendment 1C.
There is an objection.
Object.
Representative Fate.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. 1C deals with pages 22 and 23 of the bill. These amendments simply clarify the current Alaska Coastal Management Program regulations and the district plans that remain in effect until they too are amended through a DNR public process. And in clarification, the question was asked me prior on page 23, line 4, it says, following Alaska Coastal Policy, delete all material on line 4. I have to clarify that there's only three words to delete so that you won't think that you're deleting all the material thereafter. And so with that, I would hope that you will vote for this amendment 1C.
Thank you, Representative Fate. Representative Petula.
I think I need an at ease on this, please. Thank you.
I'll stand at ease. Please come back to order. Prior to the Eddies, we were debating Amendment 1C. Further debate. Representative Cotula.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a friendly amendment to Amendment Number 1C. And it's on page 22 at line 31. Right now the language says, and if I can read, natural resources may implement and enforce the regulations. The friendly amendment is to change the word may to shall and insert another may, so it would now read, natural resources shall implement and may enforce the regulations.
Everybody understand the amendment, shall implement and may enforce. There is an objection to the amendment, to the amendment. Representative Wyrock.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The reason I have concern about the amendment as it was originally posited and now as even as amended is if you look at the language on remain, it says on line 29, 30, 31, remain in effect and notwithstanding any contrary provision of this act, the Department of Natural Resources shall implement and may enforce the regulations. So essentially, if there's a provision of the act that's contrary to the regulations, the way I read it is Department of Natural Resources shall implement and may enforce the regulations. And I am very concerned as a policy matter when the executive branch implements and adopts regulations that are contrary to our statutes. We don't want them enforcing and implementing regulations that are contrary to the statutes and the directions we give as a legislature. And I'm a concern that we're putting in this statute the override authority by the executive branch through regulation of a statute that we pass.
Representative Fate.
So thank you, Mr. Speaker. I certainly don't want to get between my two learned colleagues who are attorneys here. But I will tell you that this language was worked out in conjunction with the administration in consultation with them. Compromise, and I think that after reading this, I don't have the fear that my colleague from Juneau does have. So I should say that the colleague sitting behind me from Juneau has, because the one in front of me is the one that made the amendment to the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Is there further debate on the amendment to the amendment? still maintaining the objection? Question before the House. Shall the House adopt the amendment to Amendment Number 1, Part C? Members may proceed to vote. Lock the roll. Anyone wish to change their vote? Clerk, tally the board.
17 yeas, 18 nays.
So the amendment to the amendment has failed to pass the House. Is there further debate on Amendment 1C? Representative Cardullo.
Well, now we've returned to the point where I agree with my cohort for Juneau and can't vote for it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Cartula. Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And the backup for the Amendment Number 1 as a whole before it was divided. The first paragraph refers to requests made by the Office of Coastal Resource Management. I think this is the federal office. In committee, we heard, the question was asked, what was their position on the bill as entirety, and here we have some amendments coming back from them. I'm wondering if there's been a copy of their comments that's been distributed to justify these amendments, or there are any others.
Further debate on Amendment 1C. You ready for the question? The question before the House is the adoption of Amendment 1C. Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Madam Clerk.
25 yeas, 14 nays.
So Amendment 1C has passed the House, which dispenses of Amendment Number 1. Madam Clerk, do you have further amendments?
Amendment Number 2 by Representatives Cartula and Berkowitz, page 1, line 1.
Amendment.
Kind of slow there.
If you can't,
Representative Cardullo.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Shoot, I thought you guys had seen the light here. If you haven't seen it in front of you, the reason for this amendment, I'm not sure quite what else to say. Mr. Speaker, this amendment would move this process into the interim. It would grant the districts the chance to develop statewide enforceable policies along with the state. It would keep the Coastal Policy Council in place, so you'd have a public body that would actually be hearing the changes, and you'd have a period of time until July 1st, 2005, in which to do this. Mr. Speaker, a couple weeks ago, maybe now it seems like it's been forever ago, we had legislation on air permits that used a similar process, went out to stakeholders, took almost 2 years to work out, came back, it passed this body unanimously. I think it's already sailed through the other body. When you've got a system like this, it's been in place for a long time, everyone knows there are issues and everyone knows there need to be changes. The problem becomes process, it becomes not being able to discuss the issues with the people who understand what needs to happen. This amendment would allow that, and instead of doing what we've just gone through, this is the right way to go. So I would ask that you send this back out, let the people who are involved do their job, and then come back to us with their plan. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Cartula. Representative Fate.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this came across to us March the 11th is when I first have known. I think that's close to 8 weeks. There's been close to 8 weeks of hard work by the administration, by many of the stakeholders in the districts, by members in this legislature. This actually just does away with all this hard work. It deletes the deletes his hard work. In my view, I think that we've done a good job on this. There's no such thing as a perfect bill, but this has been well worked, as I've mentioned before, and I'm just urging everybody to go ahead and get through with this and vote this piece of legislation. Thank you.
Representative Croft.
Yeah, under the proposed amendment, the regulations or new provisions would have to be in effect by July 1, 2005, and just so everyone understands, that's not a delay from the current bill. Section 45 on page 22 is the annulment of the regulations. So that's when they get rid of the old regulations. Section 45 is made effective by Section 49, which says Section 45 of this Act takes effect July 1, 2005. So like everything seemingly about this bill, it's kind of complicated, but the fact is we wouldn't be delaying any time on this. The substantive provisions, the substantive regulations would come into effect about the same time. The question becomes, where's going to be the best, most productive process? And like was referenced by the mover of the amendment, there's been some really good examples. Commissioner Ballard came in with one on air permits that was referenced, where you get the affected parties together, and instead of this that we've seen here, you get a process that has a lot of buy-in, that has the details worked out, not just thoroughly. We've done a repeated job. I'm not sure yet we've done a thorough job, but done out in a way that the people who implement this program on the ground know works. I don't, and even after a number of hearings, even if the Finance Committee had the number of hearings that I think would do it sort of legal and process justice, I can't tell whether the things I've written, even if I've worked them out to my satisfaction that they are consistent, whether they're the things that make the program function and function well and efficiently. The way you do that is by getting the people that do it in with the affected industries, and they can say, you know, here's what really frustrates us, these things, and you just get a better result. I've seen it time and time again in this process where we try and fix it sort of from above and do it poorly despite our best efforts. But when we are presented with negotiated rulemaking, the lady that used to sit in that chair talked a lot about it and worked a lot on it. It can be long and frustrating, but it produces a result that in its particulars, in its details, in its everyday work, works better. So we're gonna have this choice over the next 2 years. The department trying to implement this and impose it on the local districts, or the local districts themselves working with the industry to put together something. And they'll both end at approximately the same time. Now, there's no question this is as comprehensive an amendment as they come. But do we really think the task we want them to be doing for the next 2 years is trying to figure this out? Mr. Speaker, it'll in more detail when we get to the actual bill. But Section 11 says the regulations adopted, the DEC regulations and statutes constitute the exclusive enforceable policies for those purposes. We went around a little bit on it in finance, but I don't think there are any local enforceable policies left. Section 14 then attempts to define some in a way that, in my opinion, directly contradicts Section 11. And there are a number of other either confusing cross-references or downright contradictions that exist in the bill that I've been able to find in the short time that I've been there. Are we really going to task them of 2 years of struggle to interpret what we probably in our heart of hearts admit is not a very well-drafted piece of legislation? Or would we rather have them go through a process to bring it back to us? And what do we think is going to achieve the better result at the same end of this period, July 1, 2005? I'm pretty confident they couldn't do worse.
Representative Jewell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I come from that part of the state that not only relies really heavily on subsistence, and will after all the development is done. Any luck at all. But in my district, from Kaktovik to Shishmaref, people want to be partners in development. They want to be partners in development. And I think they recognize that there's some problems out there. This allows them to come to that table and partner in getting some of the language that has concerns so that you can truly find some streamlining, so that we can have the best of everything. We can have the best of partnership, the best in protecting a way of life that people want to hang on to. And do it with the partners, as partners, with the very people in whose areas we're going to be going in to make these impacts. And I am speaking in favor of this amendment, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of this amendment. One of the problems that has developed through this system is that we have dealt with a number of different bills, not just one bill. The bill we heard in Fisheries Committee through two long hearings was totally different than the bill that was introduced in Resources. In one way, that's good because you have the administration listening and trying to rewrite, but it was a total rewrite. And so the Fisheries Committee never really heard this bill at all, other than just the title. The thing that we've got in this bill is a disconnect, exactly the opposite way.
You speaking to the amendment?
Good point.
You speaking to the amendment?
Mr. Speaker, the amendment deals with operating a different way from the bill, a different way of arriving at the conclusion of a coastal zone management plan that will work for the state involving local districts. That's the entire crux of the amendment. And if we do not involve, as the amendment calls for, the involving of the local districts, then what we get is a top-down amendment that accomplishes the wrong thing, and that is splitting out the permit process into three sections. That is, DEC is totally separate from DNR permitting, which is totally separate from local ordinances. And that is why the amendment is necessary, is so that we can get a local involvement in a unified, streamlined process of permitting instead of the disjunctive permitting process that would be accomplished under the bill. And so I think that what we've done is we have saved money by putting the this into DNR. That's already been accomplished, but the developing of the policies that will let the coastal zone policy and the districts work will be much better done with the involvement and the participation of the local districts, which has not taken place because of the shifting of the bill. So I would support Amendment 2.
Representative Seaton. Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising in support of the amendment. As my friend from District 35 pointed out, this is a completely different bill that we heard in Fisheries. And relating to this amendment, the one thing that we saw consistently through this process of this bill is that the agencies, the local agencies, resource councils, districts, coastal tribal governments, local governments, coastal communities, have been left out of this process. This has been written top down. This has been a major education for me looking at this bill, not being from a coastal community or involved in that. And I can't see how this is going to work without substantial legal challenges, without involving local entities. I mean, and if you've heard anything on the floor today, you've heard that these people, these communities have been chasing this bill until today when they caught up with it here in this body.
So amendment number two, I think, brings them back into the game, keeps the effective date in the end, I think, the completion of the process into 05, and allows this to be a stakeholder process, one that works for everybody, has the participation of everybody, and actually has a chance of, in the end, being streamlining, being more efficient, and getting things done.
Further debate? Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you very much. The gentleman behind me who's carrying the bill said there's no such thing as a perfect bill. Unfortunately, this bill proves it. You know, a quality product reflects a quality process, and there has not been quality process in the production of this bill. What this amendment does is suggest an alternative way of arriving at a quality process. My friend behind me who carries the bill also said that we don't want to throw out all the work that's been done. Well, if we had the quality process that's outlined in the amendment, all this work would be retained, all the effort would be retained. It would constitute a significant foundation towards a product that I think the state could all endorse. Everybody wants resource development. It means jobs. It means profits. It means quality of life. It means opportunity. But getting to that point means doing it right. Means doing development right. Now, you heard the last administration talk about it. I noticed the junior senator had picked up the phrase and was talking about it when she addressed us. But doing it right means doing it right throughout. It means involving the affected communities. It means involving the partners. So, Mr. Speaker, I think we want to develop a program, coastal program that everyone supports. And I understand that there's some personal agendas that are pushing this quickly, but let's take the time to do it right. Because if we do it right, the benefits will be vastly better. And it's worth waiting just that little bit.
Further debate? Representative Petrula in wrap-up.
I want to thank you, Mr. Speaker, for allowing the latitude today in a very difficult set of amendments. And I want to thank everyone who's worked on the bill, from the administration through our staffs and to the Coastal District people who are here this week and who have come to a meeting last night and told us their concerns. There's been one group of people, although the last speaker alluded to it, who I fear also are not focusing on this and are not being heard, and that is the developers of our natural resources. When the day is over, without this process that this amendment would allow, my prediction is that it's going to be much worse for them, and none of us want to see that. So with that, I want to thank you for your consideration. I encourage you to take this step. Allow this process to happen. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Katula. Question before the House is the adoption of amendment number two. Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Anyone wish to change the vote? Clerk, tally the board.
13 yeas, 26 nays.
And so amendment number two has failed to pass the House. Madam Clerk, do you have further amendments?
I have no further amendments.
In that case, Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 191, Finance, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There is an objection. This bill will be held over tomorrow's calendar. I would ask members to retain their packets. Madam Clerk.
House House Bill 209 by Representative Chenault, Coringham, Wolf, entitled An Act Relating to Municipal Property Tax Adjustments for Property Affected by a Disaster. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee sub.